The following program, the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, is paid for in full by Acunet Mortgage, LLC, an equal housing lender, consumeraccess.org number 255368. The advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts and guests of Acunet Mortgage, LLC, and not WTMJ or Good Karma Brands.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, getting you inside information on buying, selling, and financing your home with expert advice from Acunet Mortgage and Realty. And now, here's Brian and David Wickert.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, licensed real estate broker with Acunet Realty Advisors and also the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage. My NMLS ID is 259610. And I'm here today with my son, David, who's our senior loan consultant, one of our senior loan consultants, and also our chief client experience officer. David, what's your NMLS ID?
328847. Good morning, Dad.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. And good morning to you. And if you've got a question or a comment, remember you can call or text us on the WTMJ Talk and Text line, which is 855-616-1620. So, David, we had a big Fed meeting on Wednesday of last week, and I was advising people to lock in their rates before that if they had an accepted offer, because I thought the only thing that could happen was a negative surprise, and you know, because nobody expected them to raise or lower rates at that meeting.
You're right.
But the big deal is that four times a year, all the participants on that open market committee give their predictions of how many rate adjustments the open market committee will have in the future. And so my thought was, ooh, they could like lower the number of rate cuts for the rest of the year, and then that would make the market mad and interest rates would go up. What actually happened, David?
So they kept the Fed funds rate right where it was, just as everyone predicted. By the way, I even looked up here now. There's a futures market that says, hey, when do we think, you know, at the next, which upcoming Fed meeting might they cut rates? Well, at the end of business on Friday, there is an 87%, you know, of those in the gambling parlor here on, you know, will the Fed cut rates? 87% think they'll actually keep it the same at their next meeting early part of May.
Okay.
But otherwise,
what about June?
On June, then that same group thinks that there's a 64% chance they will cut rates by a quarter of 1% at their June 12th-ish meeting.
And then when they do that in June, if they do that, that'll make rates in mortgage land come down 0.25%, right, David? Because the Fed has a big dial that controls every single interest rate, including mortgage rates, right?
No. And no. You know, and this is how markets work. By the time the Fed has actually done something, markets have already skated to where that hockey puck is. They're not waiting for the Fed. So let's say the Fed does that June 12th. Markets will already have gotten there. The only time the Fed moves markets is when they do something that is surprising. If they do something that they telegraph in words and otherwise, markets will skate to that where that puck is going to be before the Fed actually arrives there.
So the dot plot, as it's called, the predictions from all the Fed Open Market Committee members as to when and how many interest rate cuts will the Fed do. And remember, they only control one rate, the interest rate that banks charge each other overnight. That is the shortest end of the yield curve overnight. And it's at 5.25%. And you and I don't get to borrow at that. That's for big banks. And so they came up with the same number, 3. That was the median of all the predictions. We think the Fed is going to lower that Fed funds rate from 5.25% down to 4.5% by the end of the year.
There was one open market committee member, by the way. This, I think it's anonymous, because one of the open market members had rates actually 0.5% higher 1 year from now. So there is not unanimity amongst all members, and it's not required to be unanimous either.
Sure, Right, right. That's why it's a committee. Hey, in other rate forecasting news, now let's go specifically to mortgages, right, which are 30-year mortgages. And the investment market, those who buy mortgages usually think they'll have a duration of 7 to 10 years, mm-hmm. not all 30. And so back in February, when Fannie Mae came out with their rate forecast for the rest of the year, they saw interest rates sliding down on the 30-year fix to 5.9 by the fourth quarter of 2024. Well, they just came out with their revised forecast, and now they're predicting rates will only slide down to 6.4%, so a half percent higher than their month before. Mm. And you like to point out how flexible their predictions are. I just like to say,
I'm going to tell you,
yeah, they're never wrong, David. They're just early or late. They're just, you know,
I'm going to tell you the score of the basketball game the day after the game, and I'm going to nail it.
And then, by the way, they only see it getting down to 6% by the end of 2025. So that's a major shift in their long-term interest rate predictions for 30-year fixed rates. Hey, you know what? Interest rates are not holding any buyers back, or They're holding some buyers back, but there are still plenty of them out there that are willing to go forward in today's interest rate environment. Let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Home buying advice from the guys who know it best. This is the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to today's Palm Sunday edition of the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, the elder. That's David Wickert over there, the younger, taller, more handsome Wickert. And we're just talking about how interest rate forecasts are a little higher now from all the smart people with economists on their staff than they were even just a month ago. Right now, by the way, if you wanted to borrow 75% of a $310,000 purchase price, which happens to be the median sales price in the five-county Milwaukee area, low-overhead AccuNet could give you a 6.99% 30-year fixed. That's, again, with 25% down and top-notch credit, which means 780 or higher. And that would be with no points. And your total loan cost to fetch that interest rate today would be $1,415. And that's if we needed an appraisal. By the way, David, what's the rate on our fabulous first-time home buyer 30-year fixed rate program?
6% even. 6.000%.
By the way, the APR on that 6.99 rate is 7.005. And the APR on that first-time home buyer rate could be as low as like 6.02. But if you need mortgage insurance, that gets baked into the APR. That's if you put less than 20% down. So that's going to be variable, but you know, maybe as high as 6.6 if you have, sure, if you didn't have that great of credit. But plenty of home buyers out there, David. And you said you had six people writing offers last weekend?
At least.
Or this week? Go ahead. And what's the state of affairs in the mortgage supply and demand area?
Well, regardless of what rates...
House supply and demand. Sorry.
Yeah, regardless of what rates are doing, I had one client write against 12 other offers. Did not get it. Had another client write against 18 other offers. Also did not get it. Didn't matter if you are second place or 17th place. Yeah. Exactly. And all of them were strong. There's just not enough homes to, you know, soak up. As I've started to say to buyers, you know, anytime the topic of rates come up, I was like, okay, well, when those 12 people wrote on a house, let's say rates, I said, if rates go to 2%, what do you think is going to happen to the supply and demand equation?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I think it's going to go from 12 to 32 people, because now even more people are hungry, you know, or are
at a lower monthly payment.
Exactly. And so, you know, almost the reverse of all of this is, if you want less competition as a buyer, you want high rates. You want 11% rates. You want everyone to be scared away, which is hyperbolic, I know. But that's the, if rates, you know, as you shared in the first segment, Fannie Mae thinks, hey, rates might come down. I then, you know, okay, great. We over here on the left side is this discussion about rates. Then we turn our chair to the right side and we have to talk about, and so what will home buyers do with this future lower rate environment? I think it's going to make it even harder to compete.
And although with this new forecast where, hey, you know what? We're at 6.99 now, I just told you, on a 30-year fixed rate. It's coming down to 6.4, according to Fannie now, by the end of the year, and then down to 6 by the end of 2025. The real issue is that those rate declines are not going to cause the person with a 3% mortgage to say, oh, rates are at 6 now? I'm going to list my house for sale.
It will dislodge some, but not to the amount. It will not be a one-for-one, as we've said, you know.
Correct. You're not going to get enough buyers to, or rather enough sellers to list their home to make up for the increase in buy side. Okay. So I had a client, you and I were tag teaming on this transaction last weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, they clicked on the blue button, applied online. We got them all teed up. Initially, they said they really only wanted to put 3% down, and we put the pre-approval out there for them to use, and they found a house. You know, that always happens. Things get really urgent when you find a house that you think you'd like to call home.
Oh, yeah.
And so this was, you know, a dash. I think the property had only been on the market a couple of days. So interestingly, we got a lot of interesting facts to talk about. This particular buyer decided to work with the listing agent, you know, which speaks to the whole thing of, real estate commissions are changing. And I want to tell you a story when we come back from this next break about that, on how, as I got talking with them over the weekend, because I kind of took over from your initial assistance, David, and how we talked about how can we make this offer even more irresistible to the seller. We'll cover that when we come back. You're listening to the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
Getting you into the home of your dreams. Here's more of the Accudent Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Weckert on WTMJ.
Thanks again for tuning in to today's show. We were just talking before that last break about a deal you and I are a transaction, David, you and I are collaborating on. And this is in up north Wisconsin, northeast part of the state. And so the initial house, this nice house, was listed for $159,900. And our buyers, working with the listing agent, who is an agent of the seller, they wrote the offer to say, you know what, we're going to offer you $162,000, I think it was, with an escalator clause that will beat any other offer by $1,000 up to $170,000. So $10,100 over asking. And then their offer was contingent upon an appraisal, of course, and financing. We had a pre-approval letter for them with 3% down. So now it's Saturday, and I get on the phone with the buyers, and I go, okay, I think we can do some things to enhance your offer in the eyes of the seller. And so those were, since the initial credit verified pre-approval, we had gotten their bank statements along with their income documentation, which allowed us to, here on Saturday, upgrade the pre-approval to rock solid. Because we verified all
three. They didn't just tell us they had the down payment. I have put my eyes on the money. Look, there it is.
That's right. They really have it. And they have way more than 3% down. Mm-hmm. And so I said, let us make this look better in the eyes of the seller. Because 3% down to a seller means no wiggle room if the appraisal comes in low. Second of all, so we increased the down payment to 10%. Okay,
On the pre-approval.
On the pre-approval. And then the other thing we had a conversation about, the couple and myself, was, okay, where are we at? And they had been talking with the listing agent, who's saying, there's another offer. It's quite a bit higher than your maximum, he shared with them. Mm-hmm. But it's got a whole bunch of contingencies. And so our client had written with minimum of contingencies, no inspection contingency, you know, stuff like that. Okay. They don't have a house to sell. They're first-time buyers. So we kind of started talking, and then we came to the conclusion, the buyers and I, that why don't we just go right to 170? Why monkey around with this clause of escalation if you kind of already know there's another deal that's going
to but I don't want to unless I'm forced to.
Right.
That's how it can feel with an escalation clause. And a seller's
that's
just
right.
Like, can you just pay me what you think the house is worth?
Well, and then we talked about the old appraisal gap, or as we like to call it, wiggle room. Yeah. And so we talked about, you know, what other assurance could you give to these people? And so we came around to the fact that our buyers would still be willing to pay 170, even if the house appraised for 167. Okay?
Sure.
Yeah. So let's put that in there. And so then we get on the phone, the man of this couple and myself and the real estate agent. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to get a new fully verified pre-approval to you. Here's what it's going to look like. You know, it's going to say 170. I'm thinking you probably want to, you know, change your existing offer that was on the table to eliminate that whole escalator clause business. Mm-hmm, it's going to have the appraisal gap on there, and we're increasing the down payment to 10%, you know, to give the seller more comfort. You know, how does that seem? Oh, that seems really good. And so they did all that change on Sunday. And then the seller was going to evaluate offers on Monday. And lo and behold, our buyers won.
Huzzah.
Even though that other offer was, like, we are led to believe, substantially higher.
Well, but only if they got through all the, you know, all the obstacles that they, yeah, I'll pay you $1 million for your house. It's like, well, except for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's
it's
right.
Not really what that top line number is.
And I don't know if, you know, that offer had a sale home contingency. That's always the kiss of death. Right. But it seemed like it had the agent just let on that there were many more contingencies.
Yeah.
You know, was it the inspection? So one thing we took a look at is they would have actually been better off going with FHA financing because of where their credit scores currently are and their desire to put 3% down. And the reason is that private mortgage insurance companies differentiate the monthly premium that you pay based on that intersection of down payment percentage and your credit score.
Yeah.
And so FHA does not. Okay. Also, Fannie Mae changes the underlying price of the home. But when I looked carefully at all the pictures, the garage, it's detached, has some rotting wood on the soffits.
Oh.
And so I went over that.
FHA's going to care about that.
Exactly. We would have had to have either fixed it or torn down the garage. So that kind of kiboshed that idea because it is still usable. So
hey, I buy your house, can you just tear down your garage? That would be an amazing ask.
Yeah. That's right. So at least that took that off the table. We're also going to try to get their credit scores higher before we submit the loan for underwriting. David, when we come back, what story do you want to share?
I want to talk about a gift of equity. How, when you're buying a home from a family member, the variables is not just about the price you pay for the house, but there's a couple other ingredients in that recipe. We'll get into that. Now it's time to turn it over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Don't break the bank to get into a house. Back to the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm David Wickert, the younger. That's Brian Wickert, the wiser over there. Dad, as we've done so many family, you know, transactions over the years, that it really is a subspecialty of mortgage lending, right?
Sure.
That traditionally you're buying or selling your house to a stranger, and most mortgage professionals are trained and understand, you know, how that works. When you get into a family transaction, there's just a couple other ingredients that you want to be mindful of because you're kind of puppy guarding both sides of helping both buyer and seller. So I got a referral over last weekend from a commercial banker friend of mine, which off the top, I'm sure you're pleasantly pleased that this commercial banker decided to call, well, the team at AccuNet Mortgage, David over at AccuNet Mortgage, not the residential banker mortgage person who might be in his branch, which I always enjoy. if only because this is his family member, and it's actually even better than that, his in-laws and his spouse's sister.
Oh, boy. So, all right, so a lot at stake.
As I texted to him, as we got into the details, I said, and don't forget, it is my job to make you look good, having made this referral as well. So first thing, as I think is always the default, parents want to give their kids a deal on the house.
Yeah, let me give you a screaming low price on this property. That's how I'm going to help you.
Which, you know, I think they're doing that out of the goodness of their heart, out of their parental instincts. And this is where it comes into, you know, having that subspecialty expertise. And I totally get that. What I'd like, my first edit of your plan, I said, their first, hey, we're just going to sell you the house for $135. I said, what do you think the home is actually worth? Like, if the parents put the house on the market and stuck a for sale sign in the front yard, what do you think it would fetch? Well, probably like $165 or $170. Mm. And so I said, I was like, okay, great. Because here's the thing. A mortgage lender calculates the loan amount based on the lesser of the purchase price or the appraised value. So their first addition, hey, we'll sell it to you for $135. Well, if it appraises for $170, I don't get to use the 170. Right. I'm stuck at the lower number because that's what you agreed to. I mean,
what percentage down were they thinking of making, or dollar amount?
Minimum. You know, maybe zero.
How low can you go?
Right, zero. Exactly. And so, you know, had they proceeded with that plan, it wouldn't have been the end of the world by any means. You know, they would have figured out how to get the house and whatnot if they hadn't have called me, I guess. But I said, well, you're telling me that the home is actually worth this. My advice would be to draft the contract at what you think the reasonable market value of the home is. One, they decided on $165.
Okay.
Because, and I made a referral to a real estate attorney. I was like, okay, here, I want you to pay the couple hundred dollars to have a professional look at and draw this all up for you. Yeah. Because I want mom and dad to do, if they're comfortable, to do a gift of equity that they can draw it up. That's so it was going to be a $165 purchase price, 20% down for a loan amount of
$133,000 down. Okay.
Exactly. And gift of equity, the most straightforward way I can describe it is instead of mom and dad walking away with their $165, there's actually no mortgage on this house either. So it makes it even cleaner. Okay.
All right.
Instead of mom and dad walking away with $165, they're just going to walk away from the closing table with the $132 and not walk away with what they're essentially sliding across the table to their kids as a gift.
They were willing to sell it for $132 anyway, so they were only expecting $132 out of this.
Exactly.
So you're giving the sellers what they want, but you are now going to avoid what?
Well, we're going to avoid PMI.
Oh, PMI. Our which friend, is going to love PMI, helpful tool, but if you
I love
avoid
PMI,
it, yeah.
And so we're going to get them a little bit. Well, they're going to benefit from all that equity by not having the PMI. They also fit into the bucket for home ready, so that they get they've got good but not great credit, but home ready sets aside any of the pricing adjustments you get if you've kind of got good but not great credit.
And that's a special program from Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac has one too, for 30-year fixed rate loans, where they say, oh, you know what? Because your income is at 80% or less of area median, which is about $80,000, and we only have to use the income from the people that are on the application, not everybody living in the household, you'll get a special deal. You'll get a better deal than people that are, you know, making $200,000 a year, which is nice.
I got a couple more details I just want to lay out, not only on the plan, but then the execution. So let me cover that after we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Important home buying questions and answers you can count on. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on your Sunday morning. I'm David, that's Brian. Dad talking about a family transaction, parents selling to daughter and her husband. And when we're trying to line up this family transaction, one of the ways that I come at this is from the seller side. You know, they're giving this gift. And I don't want there to be surprises on the seller side, you know, that compound that they are also, you know, feeling like they're giving this gift. And what I mean by that, I pose the question as, how much money do the sellers want to walk away
there
with?
You go. Yeah.
That we begin with the end in mind. What is their number? Which is, in a way, I call that, it's almost reverse engineering the mortgage. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning with, what do the sellers want? Okay, what are the costs that it'll take to manufacture the mortgage? And then how much money do I need to lend the buyer in order for it all to shake out the way that everyone's expecting?
Well, because remember, in a normal transaction, the seller pays for owner's title insurance.
Yep.
So what did you do with that detail?
So we're not doing an owner's policy.
Okay.
We're going to proceed with only a lender's policy for title insurance, which is acceptable.
So that's you don't have to get owner's title insurance. In fact, on my big Florida transaction that I want to talk about before the show is over today, the buyers there opted not to get an owner's policy and instead rely on the coverage from the lender to take care of that issue. What about the transfer tax to the state of Wisconsin, which is $4,800 in this deal?
Only 400 some dollars, not $4,800.
Oh, left off a decimal.
400 some dollars. The buyers are going to cover that cost.
And then the last thing would be property tax prorations. Normally the seller says, yeah.
We're not going to do a proration from mom and dad to the buyers.
Okay. So literally, if I'm understanding this correctly, the seller is going to get the mortgage amount.
Exactly. Then what knowing that, hey, we've got our bogey for the seller side, I then, you know, turn to the buyer side and I'm like, one of my instructions was, can we line it up that the buyers, they're getting this gift of equity. Can they also bring next to no money to closing? They do have some savings, but hey, as we've said a gazillion times, the down payment's probably not the only thing you're going to want to pay for when you move into your new house. They also happen to have a one-year-old. So it's like, you're probably going to need or want to buy a new couch for your new home. And, you know, your one-year-old turns into a two-year-old and they need clothes. So they're going to be able to keep their cash is important. And so what I did is the tool that your smart cats at Acunet Mortgage are going to reach for is I used a lender credit to offset. I'm going to get it down to the penny. Like I'm going to be able to line it up where they're only going to have to show up with their driver's license and we'll bring the pens.
What about the deposit? Are they going to escrow for property taxes?
They are, but this is in a part of the state of Wisconsin where the taxes are actually quite low.
Okay, so hundreds of dollars, not...
Exactly.
Okay.
And so they... the way that I'm able to do that, I'm dialing up the interest rate in order to create the juice,
cash,
the revenue. A higher rate creates higher revenue. And what your smart lenders at Acunet do is we take that higher revenue and we use it to offset the hard cost to manufacture your mortgage. So I'm dialing them all the way up to 7.49%.
Ooh, for the note rate.
Right. But the APR is the same because there's no closing costs. We are literally paying for all of it.
Yep.
And the other thing, as we've said through many shows as well, they have no sunk cost for any opportunity to refinance in the future.
Right.
And so if come Christmas time, you know, they're kind of at this like 7.5 number. If come Christmas time, rates have come down to 6.5, they're not waiting. They didn't spend any money to get the lower rate. They're instantly in the money when rates arrive to whatever makes it worth their while. So those are the variables. You can do it. You can buy a home from family and do it without smarts.
Sure. Yeah, you can do it kind of the blunt force. I'm just going to sell it for the lowest price. You're going to be paying PMI forever, you know, and you're going to pay all your closing costs and good luck. Or you can hook up with a nice smart loan consultants at Acunet, and we'll help you save money. All right, David, when we come back, I'd like to give our listeners an update on a transaction in Florida, a big one, about a $2.9 million purchase that's supposed to close next week. And late in the week, this past Friday, we had a major hitch in the giddy-up of that transaction having to do with homeowners insurance. We'll cover that when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on the biggest stick in the state, AM 620 WTMJ.
Find a place to call home without the headache. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Welcome back. And David, we've been keeping the radio audience here and podcast audience up to date on the transaction. A quick one. Down on the west coast of Florida, where some past customers of ours are buying a really nice home on one of the keys on the, because you know everybody thinks of the Florida Keys down off south of Miami, but there are keys on the left-hand side of Florida as well. And so they already own a condo there. They're buying a beautiful home, and it's not cheap to be on the water. Now, they're not on the Gulf side. They are facing the inward side, whatever you call that, leeward, I think, on this key. You like that? A little terminology there. And so not cheap, $2.9 million purchase price. And so there have been lots of ups and downs in this transaction already. One of them was when I discovered by going to the county's website that, oh, your property taxes aren't $8,000. They're really probably going to be more like $34,000 a year. Woo! And so that caused, you know, I thought, oh, that's going to scuttle the deal. I don't want to do that. And they're like, no, that's okay.
That's fine.
We'll take that. And by the way, we don't think it would be that high, and it's not going to happen for another year. You know, we think it's going to be more like 25. I'm like, okay. We had to use the higher number that I verified from the county, but power cool. Then it came time for hurricane insurance. Oh, they do have flood insurance on this well, because on this home as well, because it's right on the water. But they were able to take over the existing owner's flood insurance policy, which is only like $3,600 a year. I was surprised that it was that cheap. But then when it came down to homeowners insurance, and this is the crux of our issue, the first quote they got, and this was for, by the way, just the replacement value of $1.2 million, not the entire value of the house, just $1.2 million. The initial quote they got was $42,000.
Can I just, replacement value means what would the cost of the 2x4s be to reconstruct the structure that you have?
Yeah. You don't have to reconstruct the land. You just have to redo the property. So
unless it's a real bad hurricane, but go on.
Yeah, well, then $32,000 was their second bid, and they got a bid back for $19,000. The only way to make a $19,000 insurance policy look good is to have a $42,000 quote first.
I guess.
And so now we're coming down to, you know, hey, they had to have some, the owner had to do a couple of repairs in order to get it insurable, having anything to do with GFI outlets and electrical box. I mean, you're talking like less than $600. So those get done. Now it's time to get the insurance policy. And our buyer mentions to their insurance broker, well, yeah, the sellers are going to live in the house for 30 days. They're going to rent it back from us for 30 days after closing. And the insurance broker goes, let me check on that. And the answer is, sorry, in this part of Florida, we are not writing any insurance for people for when there's a rent back. You have to occupy it. No one else can be in the property. Even though we have, in mortgage land, we can still call it owner-occupied as long as they occupy within 60 days, and there is a written agreement for them to lease back the property for a certain dollar amount for up to 30 days. But this is all of a sudden, because remember, the insurance market in general is getting twitchier by the minute.
In upheaval.
Yeah. And so that apparently is something on the west coast of Florida. They are not writing rental policies, at least not on this particular key in the west coast of Florida.
They will for $42,000. They will.
No. They came back and said, we don't have any carrier that will insure this property as anything but owner occupied, which in our dictionary means nobody else can be living there but you.
You drive straight from the closing table to the house and put your underwear in the dresser.
In the drawer immediately. Yeah, you've occupied it. No, but they just don't want anybody else living there. So, Any solutions come to mind? Oh, by the way, this is a cash offer. No financing contingency.
I mean,
he's stumped, folks.
They could show up with cash and try to do a refinance after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that ain't happening.
You know, so that they're not on the clock for the homeowner's insurance.
All right, so I'll give you the answer because I had more minutes to think about it, and we're running out of time. One was, I did ask the insurance company on Friday, hey, if they allow the sellers to live for free, would that work? But what's the other solution? You seem to have one.
I was going to offer to pay to put the sellers in a hotel for a month.
Okay, that could work. And they may not need the whole month, by the way. But the real solution is going to be, I think, delay the closing.
I was going to say pay for a mover. The only reason you need 30 days afterwards is because you got a bunch of stuff in your house and it takes time to get moved. Pay for a moving company to help them get out.
The real answer is going to be that we're going to have to delay closing, which will cost something in terms of a rate lock extension. But I think when I end up doing the math, it's going to be cheaper than the actual. Remember how expensive I said the insurance was and the taxes and everything?
Yeah.
The daily cost of extending the rate lock is going to be cheaper than the daily cost of owning. I think what the reality is going to be. All right, that's all the time we have for today's show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
The preceding was a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts or guests of Acunet Mortgage and Acunet Realty Advisors and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.